morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 50, 55 minutes. I am really honored and privileged, and I mean this sincerely, to have Dr. Dr. Phillips with you. She is the interim superintendent of schools for the city of Pittsfield. She's doing, in the old fat ball guy's opinion, that's me, she's doing a great job. She stepped in, and I want to thank you for doing it, and I want to thank you for taking it on again. I love you. But so tell us a little bit about yourself. You and I will say this one more time. You stepped in at a time with some controversy, and you've really, I think, taken the bull by the horns, and you're doing is settling things down. And that, I congratulate you for that.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate that. And I was just talking with someone earlier today. You know, education is not a job for me. So when I became superintendent, I wasn't looking for the superintendent position, if you will. I'm really looking for a role where I feel that I can be impactful in the community that I think is aligned with you know, my background and my hopes and vision for public education. And so I am one of eight children, second oldest, and the first one in my family to graduate from college.
Oh, wow.
And I think it is, my parents knew that the pre-K-12 education was going to be one of the greatest contributors, inputs for all of their children being able to have a different life. And so I recognized early on the opportunities I had were because of education. And that's why I came into the public education field, because that's not what I started in undergrad.
Oh, what did you start as?
I started in international affairs.
Oh, cool.
My first job was in Mexico City.
Oh wow.
Bringing agricultural products into Mexico from California. So it was a fun job. It was exciting. But that's when I started to realize I'm much more community-minded. And there was something else I was supposed to do in life, and went to Japan to explore it. And that's where I was a teacher in Japan. And I said, wow, there's something to education. And I was able to reflect that the reason I'm able to work in two different countries and choose the pathway that I want,
yeah,
is largely because of that pre-K-12 foundation that I had.
So you, I like you, never go to the cemetery that I don't get out and thank my parents for how they raised me. I worked for the DOJ, and I had the opportunity to travel the world and meet all kinds of cultures and people. And one of my proudest assignments is pictures right over there. I spent 3 years during the conversion of the Mandela administration in South Africa.
Wow.
Yeah. So, right, Nelson? We call each other by first names. Well, his first name was President and mine was Bill. But
wow, we'll have to talk more about that another time.
I do want to, and I have to compliment your executive assistant. She is a wonderful person to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her she is a wonderful replacement for Rose.
Uh-huh.
And but I won't be around when she retires in 54 years from there.
Yes, I am so happy to have her. She's a graduate of Pittsfield Public Schools. She went off to college, graduated with honors, and I was thankful to recruit her in to give her a shot.
Yeah, she's doing a great job, at least from my end.
Excellent. Let her know.
One of the biggest hurdles, I think. Well, you have a lot of hurdles, but one of the largest or biggest is the attendance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How your gut on that? How are you doing? And then I'll give you 2 cents from my old job and listening to why they didn't come. I interviewed every kid that went through that, every boy that went through that, and they were boys then. They were just adjudicated adults because of the seriousness or violence of their crime, sentenced to the penitentiary. So, but I want to, it's a kind of a multi-headed problem.
You know, it is, and every community is different. And so one thing that's really important for me is that I'm understanding what are the contributors in this community to the high absenteeism rate. Because not every student's the same, not every family's the same, and I want to understand the trends. I did share at a recent school committee meeting that at the elementary level, the partnership between the school and the family is critical because the child is relying on the parent to bring them to school.
Exactly.
We are planning to do some focus groups, not only with students and with families, to really understand why they're not coming and are there barriers and how do we overcome those barriers? You know, I want to know if you miss the bus, you know, and once you miss the bus, you can't get in. I want to know if there are medical reasons, you go to the doctor, you know, and again, transportation is an issue, you know, or I want to know if there's just not an understanding of the correlation between attendance and achievement, you know. So whatever those factors are, the goal is not to point fingers ever. It's hard to change when you point fingers. It's to really understand. It's to educate and to partner.
And you know, I love the way you're approaching it. Yeah, I mean, you know, my generation, which is I got, they can't understand. Well, just get them to school. Have their parents. It's not the 1950s and 60s anymore. You know, and you're right. I love the way you're approaching it with a no fault, not. We'll determine what avenues we have to take to get the child to school. And I just think that that's a much smarter way. After, as I said, talking to the ones, and they all had IEPs, God, they all had IEPs. And they all, I don't want to say, many of them had were behavioral problems, you know, clowns, whatever. And I think you nailed it. You nailed it by your own lifestyle or your own upbringing. Your parents instilled what I was going to share with you. I was going to have Dan Elias buy his coffee because he works at a bank, so he's got to make a lot of money. And I was going to just share that their parents didn't put any weight and worth in school. That, I mean, of the You know, my non-scientific study, but that's what the, you know, one kid, I'll just, one kid, my mom got pregnant in the ninth grade for me. She was doing okay without a, you know, without a high school diploma. Why? Well, I'm not good at school. It could be generational too. I'm sure you've seen that.
You know, it's interesting. I recently had a meeting where we were talking about some of the areas for improvement. We need a two-generation approach because when multiple generations have an experience with the public schools, you know, or feel let down by the public schools, sometimes you disengage. Right. So my parents have had some negative experiences with their public education, and they went one route where they said, you know, this is just making us double down on our advocacy, right? But how you receive the experience is important for us to understand and And especially where a family might have had a negative experience themselves, welcome them back in, rebuild the trust.
And I think too, with the vocational programs, they are a wonderful addition to the overall education of our kiddos. Because when I was growing up, if you don't go to college, you'll never amount to anything. Well, I didn't go to college till I came back from Vietnam, and because I thought high school was the greatest social experience I ever had. Then they told me it was also academic. Ha! Surprise. There's a lot of there's a, I guess what I want to say to my audience, until you walk a mile in someone's shoes, don't judge what they're doing, because you don't know all the facts, and it's so easy to crit. Doctor, I'm burned out on people being so negative. We got to be more positive.
I am there with you. I agree. And I think it's wonderful for this community to have the CTE high school.
I don't know if you knew this, but once a month we go out and we do a live show from their studio. And this week, I think it's Wednesday this week, I'm going to do the principal, Mr. Bishop, Dr. Bishop.
Oh, okay, that's wonderful.
Tammy Gage, I mean, what she's done to build up that division of the education process is unbelievable.
I agree with you. I agree.
So what other challenges are you facing?
Yeah. So that's a big question.
Oh,
That's a
I know,
big
I
question.
know.
I think one of the things I saw early on was the teacher vacancy rate and the need for us to strengthen our recruitment, and our retention, right? So we really want people to choose to stay and be with us, and we also want to recruit. I think the teacher shortage is across the Commonwealth, it's across the nation. And so I really want educators to know what we offer here and to choose Pittsfield Public Schools.
That's
And
what
there's a lot of good in here. And so one of the things that I want to improve on is making sure that the good news stories are getting out about the positive things happening, because we do tend to focus on the negative and not highlight the good work happening.
You nailed it on the head. I mean, we have to get what they call, I don't want to use anybody's, but fair and balanced. I mean, when there's an incident, there's an incident. Okay, that's a start. But when there's so much good being done, that will certainly overshadow that incident. And I agree with you. And I happen to have resided with a teacher for the last 54, almost 55 years. AKA the Polish Princess. And she taught in a Pittsfield school. She taught all over the country because I got transferred a lot. But she started in a Pittsfield school. She ended in a Pittsfield school. So, but, and there, I think too often, so many people forget we are an urban school district. And we're not a little town or a nice town or what. We are a beautiful city, but we are an urban school district. And you know that far better than I, but I like to let people know when they say, "Wow, look at what so and so's doing." Well, we have more kids in gym than they have in the whole school, so.
No, that's right. That's right. So we're an urban district in a rural area. I am really learning those distinctions from being in urban areas that are metropolitan metropolitan areas. So
No, but you're, and again, I don't mean this to brownie you up, but what you walked in and what you've done, in a short period of time, not I had the greatest respect, and I will say this till the cows come home, for Mr. Joe Curtis. I really did. I thought he was a wonderful superintendent. I've interviewed him several times, and Dr. McCandless before him. And then you walked in, and you seemed to calm the storm a little bit. I mean, tomorrow we could have a lightning strike.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
You're
I mean,
absolutely
I ran a job like that. It'd be going great, and then all of a sudden the world would collapse.
right.
The bigger the, I also think you're going to start with a new school committee, and that could be a blessing.
Well, I mean, I hope it's a blessing.
Yeah.
I think that the current school committee that I served under, I do have to say that
Great people.
I've really appreciated even the way that they've approached their role.
Yeah.
They ask questions. They don't just take what I say. They
They're
ask
engaged.
follow-up questions. They're engaged, and I think one of the features of high-performing districts or improving districts is that there is a relationship between the governing body and the management in a way where we can productively disagree
Yes.
and still move forward. And so I think that is what this school committee brought to the table for me for the last 6 months that I've been in. So I am very thankful for their approach, because maybe part of my success here has been that they've been very, very level. They have expectations. They ask questions. They push, but they're doing it for the same reasons as me, wanting our students to succeed.
And I would say I don't want to miss anybody, but Sarah Hathaway, who was an educator, Dr. Bill Cameron, just a brilliant dude. Dom Sacco, our friend. Oh golly, just drew a blank on his name. Elias, Dan Elias. Boy, I'll tell you, mine's a terrible thing to lose. If you find it, I drop it off the house. But yeah, they have been so committed to the children, to the educational process. I in a way I hate to see them go, but a way I can understand them going. And the best to the new group. I mean, I really wish them the best.
Right. I agree. I do as well. I'm really hopeful.
Yeah, and you made an interesting comment. Just you were in an urban or metropolitan urban school district, and this is a rural urban school district. What, like, I just will tell you this: I people, you know, I sometimes shudder with my comrades and my peers. I said at Castle School, heck, there was hardly any snow at all. I remember, I know, walking to school and snow up to your chin. But what a lot of people don't realize about Pittsfield, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have a lot of walkers. A lot of kids walk to school. I live on William Street, so I see the kids going to Herberg. So they say, well, yeah, but look at Williamstown. How many kids walk to school in Williamstown? You know, so I mean, those are things that I think would help getting out to the public. And that's why I'm saying it here, that we have kids who walk.
That's right. And
A lot of
we want to ensure their safety, right?
Exactly.
Make sure that they're on the sidewalks, right? The sidewalks are clear. Make sure that, there are areas that are icier than others. So we have to think about the walkers in addition to the bus riders, because
Yes.
large vehicles on the road maneuvering, in
Yeah.
some cases, narrow roads. And so you're absolutely right. It's never a simple decision. And because we're a system of schools, we make a decision for
Good.
the system, And so maybe one school might be in a certain area and it's pretty easy to get there. But if it's hard to get to, 12 other schools,
Right.
we have to make the call for the whole system.
Well, not that it means anything. I think you made the right call.
Well, that was a tough one because there was no snow on the ground.
Right.
And so we were making a decision based on a projection. And me and other superintendents, we have a communication, and the night before it's like, well, we see the forecast, but might it change overnight? Let's wait till morning. And
Oh, I think you did the right. I totally agree with what you did. Not that I mean anything, but I just want people to understand they're not fly by night decisions. They really aren't. And yes, we walked to school with snow up to our chin, but you know what? It wasn't the same kind of snow.
Right. And it's a
Go ahead.
team. It's the transportation team, it's the custodial team, the city has the team, the highways. So it's not one person. I, at the end of the day, carry the decision, but we are checking roads, sidewalks, checking conditions inside of the school building. And this is starting, my transportation director will get on the road around 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And we'll still see her in the building at 5 p.m. So these are some long days for the people
Oh,
with
absolutely.
the input.
And I think too, you just made a comment, and I have to make a comment on it. Like I said, we go to Taconic at least once a month, the radio station. But I go because I'm on the advisory board whenever they have a meeting, like quarterly. That school is a big school with a lot of traffic. It's open like unbelievable hours. It's spotless. I'm an old army guy. I look at stuff. That school is spotless. So to that custodial staff, kudos. You got an old fat bald guy believes you're doing a great job. Doesn't mean anything, but
No, it
seriously, that it and I'm sure all the schools are like that, you
does.
know, because we have people who care,
Right. I
like
agree.
yourself.
There's a lot of heart in this district, and that's one thing I really, really appreciate. It makes the job easier when you're surrounded by people that care about this work.
Like I said, I've lived all over the world, and Pittsfield's really, and we just had this conversation earlier with the sheriff and the Toys for Tots thing. They got, I don't know, over 4,000, almost 5,000 toys. But Pittsfield is a city that when some tragedy happens to someone, their house catches on fire, or their kid is in Boston, Boston Children's Hospital, people take up fundraisers and collections and furniture. And like I said, you don't see that everywhere.
Right. That's
You
right.
know, it's a very close-knit city, and that's good sometimes, and it's bad sometimes. What's your feeling about the changing of the schools? You know, if it's a top secret thing, you don't have to answer that. But
Sure, no problem. About the middle school? So we are still in the stages of finalizing our transportation routes. And I think I've said this for months now that it's a really complex operation, and we have to make sure that we can get all of the students to the buildings on time, and if you've been following recent developments, we would have to expand the transportation timetables. And so that's where we're at right now. But I think I don't know where the initiative started. I picked it up right from June, but I can tell you that I am excited and hopeful for the restructuring, because I think it will give us the opportunity to really plan thoughtfully inside of the buildings. Developmentally, we know that our fifth, sixth graders are at a period in life where they're changing,
Yeah.
and being able to focus on them, pulling the sixth graders away from the seventh, eighth, and pulling the fifth graders up, I think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us in many ways, not just directly for the student, but also being able to provide the mentoring opportunities, allowing newer teachers to be able to observe more
Like
veteran teachers. It's harder to do when you only have two teachers in a grade level in a building to be able to identify, oh, this teacher does this really well.
yeah.
Let's schedule time for you to go see them. This teacher's really great at this. So I think it's an opportunity for us to have ongoing learning, strengthening our teacher workforce, which in the end, results in better outcomes for our students.
And I'm certainly not an educator, but I can tell you didn't have to be Nostradamus to know that the middle schools weren't clicking. They whether that I was I'm a product of junior high.
Okay.
I It was North, now it's Reed, junior high. And I could see, and I've had plenty of time to think about this. I remember very distinctly going in as a seventh grader and looking up to the ninth graders. Okay, and some of them were bullies, you know, and then remembering when I was a ninth grader looking at the seventh graders, and just that 3 years was so developmental for me that I was never a fan of the middle school, because I thought they're too young, and then you're throwing them into something else. And but at least, and I have to take my hat off to the former administrations and to the school committee, who have labored to get the right mix. And you.
And it's there's a lot of things that we need to plan. Change is never easy.
Oh no.
We're never going to get it perfect. So we get it the best we can professionally. I want to make sure I feel really good, about everything we know. And then we go into the building and we learn because there's plenty of things we're going to learn from.
I can attest I was part of the planning process, a team of people who planned the Violent Youthful Offender Program to be. And then somehow I must have left the room, and when I came back, I was the implementer. So now whenever there's meetings, I'm the last one out. There's some advice for you.
It happens that way
Yeah.
sometimes.
But, well, and again, I say this to the public, be prepared no matter how well you plan it. In the military, they used to say, it's a great plan until the first shot's fired. And it's almost the same in real life in what you're doing. But you thank you for acknowledging it. And I will certainly be an advocate for in support of that, because as I just I have another meeting later on this afternoon. And as I told this person, you have a strategic plan. Right now, there are words on paper. How are you going to operationalize it? And they and the their committee said, gee, we never thought about that. And you know that's going to be the key to this, is operationalizing it. How many kids on the bus, what time?
And then there are opportunities for efficiencies. So even with the buses, we are routing the buses based on our current policy, 1.5 miles from the school. But if we find that we've routed all the kids and the buses are half full, then let's look at the policy and see, can we extend that so more kids can ride the bus? So I think there's opportunities like that that we're going to learn and improve on.
And I can tell you from where I live, it would be interesting to do a survey of how many kids take the bus now. Because I can tell you, by the time we finish this program, There'll be a line past my driveway of people picking their kids up at Herberg. And then in the better weather, when we used to walk, there'll be the same on two or three other streets. So I wonder, that would be an interesting survey. I don't want to give you more work. You got enough.
Well, this is an area that the transportation department and I are studying, because this district, we create a seat for anyone who qualifies.
Right.
And in other districts I've been in, we've asked families to fill out a form indicating they want to ride the bus. So that's one way of knowing, everyone who signed up wants the bus, versus just kind of rostering everyone for the bus. And then also, I'm hearing that there are seasons of ridership. So in some seasons,
They walk.
students ride the bus more than others.
Right.
And then I'm told that some, maybe a small percentage, ride it for convenience.
Right.
They keep the seat, but maybe only ride it, once or twice a month. So I really want to study it to understand, what are the patterns? Because ultimately, the bus transportation is there as an equity measure to make sure kids get to school because they have
Yes.
no other way to get there.
We're going to take a break. I am so honored and privileged to have with me today Dr. Latifah Phillips. I got it right.
You got
I've been practicing the whole time.
it
He is the interim superintendent of the Pittsfield School Department. If you can't, watching this program, if you can't tell that this lady is so committed to education, and all that that means. I think too often we think of school as a building, but it's more than a building. It's what's inside the building, how you get them in the building, how you get them out of the building and home safely. And I'm reading her, and a lot of I have had a lot of training reading people. This lady is totally committed, really, to the education of our kiddos. So, as I said before you criticize, walk a mile in her shoes. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, and we are broadcasting into Southern Berkshire. So there you go. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I am so honored and privileged to have with me today the interim superintendent of Pittsfield School System, Dr. Latifah Phillips. And I'll tell you, our conversation the first half has been amazing with and before we criticize people, and listen, it's easy to criticize. It's hard to do. Mm. There you go. And we know we talked about the transition, the grade levels. Mm-hmm. And they're working on the transportation plan. And, doctor, because some people are just coming in and other people are getting on, getting the kids on the bus and off the bus, mm-hmm. Just kind of give a recap of what you said about how you're studying that. I think that is that needs to get out to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I shared that. So public transportation is an equity measure. It's there to make sure that students can get to school, yeah, get the education so that they can change their circumstances and determine their future. And so in our district right now, we roster all students for the bus based on their distance from the school. So if you live over 1.5 miles for the middle schools, for the middle grades, we will roster you for the bus. But what we are studying is the occupancy on those buses, right? The utilization. Sure. And, I had shared in my other districts that sometimes parents opt in to ride the bus. In this district, I think it's an opt out. So we will create a route for you unless you tell us you're not going to ride the bus. And so we are studying the utilization of the buses. What percentage of riders are those regular everyday riders? I am told, this is my first year, so I hear things and I say, okay, yeah, well, let's study it, that some riders are seasonal riders, in certain parts of the year. And then in some cases, a student might ride just sporadically because they have a seat maybe a couple times a month. So I really want to make sure that the students who need the transportation to get there, that we're making sure that we're getting them on the bus. The ride is as short as necessary. So a lot of our routes right now are a full hour.
Wow. And
that's a long time to be on the bus.
On a bus, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but the encouraging part, at least as I see it, they're still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
still looking for the best solution. Mm-hmm. So before everybody goes bonkers, mm-hmm. Let them finish. But mm-hmm. I understand the open mic things and all of that, but I think, I guess what I would say to people, be respectful.
Mm.
Be respectful. It's a hard job. Mm. We have to change. And if you don't believe change is hard in Pittsfield, doctor, call up the Mayor Marchetti. He was the guy behind the toters for garbage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He used to have really thick hair and dark hair. Now it's gray and thinning. But people in Pittsfield, they don't do change well. And I can say that. I listen to them. I mean, I get texts, I get calls, and I'm sure I'll get a few after this. But, you know, I look at it this way. I'm going to be fair as I see it. That's all I can't see it through your eyes mm-hmm. or experience it through your experience. I have to see it as I see it. Mm-hmm. I think the Pittsfield school systems have done a wonderful job with the kids. The addition of Taconic, the visionaries who saw that. Think now with AI, think of some of the courses you're offering there. And now you hear these people talking about AI. You're dead on. You're dead on.
And you know, something I reflect on. So I've moved a lot for my career. Enjoy moving, learning. I have never been in a place where I regretted being. Every place has enriched my life.
Me too.
And I think that, you're a mover as well. And I think that when you do move, you build up a different like tolerance for change and maybe tolerance is the wrong word, but when you face something new, you realize, okay, well, you step into it and then you realize, you know, in many cases it wasn't as terrible, you know, or if it was, you learned and you grew from it.
Yeah.
But one thing I try to be mindful of when I move into different communities is that not everyone moves like that. And so it really is important for me to really understand what people's fears are, what their concerns are, and to be mindful of that, because it's not helpful to just come in and bring ideas and pull everyone along in the change, right? So that's not my way. You know, there are some things that are moving quickly that I've been charged with moving, and I'm trying to do it in a thoughtful, methodical way.
And you're doing, and who am I? I mean, I'm not an elected, I'm just a radio guy, radio, TV, mostly radio, because they keep telling me over there I don't have a face for TV. But you're addressing the issues from the captain's chair. The captain of a ship has to make decisions from his chair or her chair. You're not making them, you know, sitting in the coffee shop saying, well, if I were the superintendent, this is what I do. Well, one, you're not the superintendent. Two, you have no background. But I also want to go back and say what I've learned, and I think I'm sensing you have too. Each country, each group of people, while they may look different than I do or have different customs or whatever, they still want the same things. They want to be safe. They want to be happy. They want their family to prosper. They want to be healthy. And I think what you bring is that experience of kind of a goofy word today, but holistic. You know, you're looking at it very openly. And I applaud you for that, because I'm sure there's been people tugging you both way from my own experience, tugging you both way. But what I was going to say is I taught at the National Academy, DOJ, and management and supervision. And what we taught both groups, don't go in and start changing things till you have at least 6 months and understand why they're doing what they're doing. How doing it. And I applaud you for what you're, some stuff you have to do. I mean, it's
right.
But what you're doing, I think you're assessing it. And that, instead of, well, I'm going to go, I've been here 2 weeks and I want this. You have to understand the culture. And I think you're doing an excellent job at it.
And I would also say, I see a lot of transition. Lot of transition at leadership levels and at the superintendent level. And it's also important to me that there are sustainability plans and that we are not just tied to one individual.
Right.
So I'm going to bring everything I can to this district and make sure that I am bringing in my team and bringing in others, because it's really important. It really hurts districts and communities when leaders shift. And it's like this person's agenda. And then now we're mad at this person. And now it's this person's agenda. And you just stay in a
turmoil. I've had a few occasions in my career when I've been sent to bring that calmness back. And we have to understand the motives of people. But people also have to understand our motives. And that I'm a big guy for open communications. I think you're doing a terrific job at it. I don't have a real any kind of a life anymore, so I watch all those meetings. You know, maybe you can make this happen. If you would bring it, say we're PHS or City Hall, if we could get recliners and cocktails, I think you'd have more people show up.
Like that movie theater shift?
Yeah. What have you seen change since you've been in education as far as students?
Oh, goodness. As far as students, there, say a little more so I know how to engage with you on that.
Have you seen more acting out? Have you seen more resistance? I'm just thinking back at the ones I had and their stories they told. And parent engagement, that's the other thing. I happened to be at the old Taconic one morning when a father came in and just as disrespectful as he could be. And, you know, right in front of the kid. So I guess the question is, has it become more difficult dealing with both groups, students and parents? You know, probably my thing, if you call my mother, I'd get a beating when I got home.
Yeah. So, you know, I think students are changing, but I don't think that's abnormal. I think we look back on every generation and every generation says, oh, goodness, if I did this, if I did this. And so one of the things I'm thinking about the impact is social media, right? Internet access to information. I think that that is impacting our students. You know, this district made the decision to have the cell phone ban, right? To try to disconnect students for a little while from the devices. So I think those are things we're having to do now that we didn't have to think about.
Exactly.
In 10, 15 years ago. And I think it's really important for us to meet our students where they're at. And all students' behavior is communication. That's, you know, I went to the restraint training. We got a great trainer over at Pittsfield High. And that was one of the things that he impressed upon us, you know, like, and I think also, you know, if, you know, some of students' behaviors, they're responding with the best that they know.
Right.
And we have to have that patience and grace to help them to be better.
What they know and what they've experienced in their own homes. I mean, the level of abuse among many of the ones that I interacted with was beyond belief, but some of them had physical marks to prove what they were saying. So there's been so much written. I'm sure you've heard of the book Anxious Generation and all. And it really is. I've told this story on air before. And my wife and I went out to 99 one night. And there was a mom and a dad and three kids and all of them. Nobody talked. Now, at my house, 5 o'clock was supper. You were at the table at five, or you heard a war whoop from my father. And that's when we caught up with our day. He would start like with my older brother and sister, what'd you do in school? And boy, you better tell him something. Cause if you said nothing, it was like lighting a firecracker. So I know times have changed, but what I found in my experience, and you just nailed it actually in so many words, listen, listen, listen. One of the greatest compliments I got was from a kid that was a gangster. I mean, there's no other way. He was doing 20 years at 18. So, but he gave me one, I'll take it to my grave. He said to me, "You are the first person who's ever really listened to me and not cut me off."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you nailed it, doctor, but that shows your expertise. You've taken the time to learn the game. And you know, maybe it's to say it's a game now, I'll get a lot of grief about that. But I can handle it. I mean, you know, I just think when we talk about kiddos, they have changed. Mm-hmm. We as adults have to understand those changes and work around them to help them.
And to bring them to the expectation, right?
Exactly.
But oftentimes if we just say, "This is what I want," you know, and
I used to say to them, you know, "What do you expect from me?" What do you expect from me? I don't know. Because no one's ever asked them that. You know? It probably shouldn't say this on air, but I had one who said he had an IEP. He was reading like at the third grade level, and he was like 19. So, and he, you know, he said, "Oh, well, if I knew we had to do something out loud, you know, you have to stand up or whatever." He said, "I create a commotion, get kicked out of class." And I think of an incident that happened to me at North Junior High, Reed, with one of the teachers I had there. And it was obvious this kid was just making a scene to make a scene. And the teacher's name was Norman Jimmy. I think he's long past. But he said, "You want me to go to the office?" He said, "No, that's what you want." And all of a sudden, he was diffused and sat in his chair. So we all can learn, but we need to listen to today's kids. And one father I know says, "When you get in a car, you put your cell phone away, we talk." So, but you are, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
I really do. And if there's ever anything, you know, your wonderful administrative assistant knows how to get a hold of me. I said, if you ever get a message left on your phone, old fat ball guy, it's me.
Okay.
Best of luck. You've got some hurdles to jump over, but you have the right spirit, the right background, in my opinion. And I think we're fortunate to have you at this interim period and maybe longer.
Thank you. And I appreciate being here. So.
Oh, I know. And you know what? You emanate that. You know, you're not in a cocoon, you're out and about, and I, you know, it's good for the people to see, I think, that too. And I, like the others that preceded you, they were public figures. Whatever you leave here will be your legacy. And I think it's going to be a nice one and a good one. I really do. Just from seeing how you interact, I just think you've done a wonderful, you're doing a wonderful job in the midst of, you know, everything. Schools are changing, bus routes.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Well, you're entitled to it. You deserve it. All right. I do want to thank you for coming on. I just think when the load gets heavy, just take a break. That's what I had to do. And I'm an old man. I had some big jobs. And there's sometimes you just have to say, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to listen to music and read a book.
I got to work on that. So I will I'll put that on my list.
Look at how it left me. You don't want to be like me. All right. Now to my, to the folks out there, be kind. Kindness costs nothing. God bless you all. And remember, today, I always say this, lift somebody up. Don't push anybody down. We're all in this together, and we need each other more than you will know. Take care of yourselves. Thank you, doctor. And like I said, if you get a little message, old fat ball guy, you know who it is.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful day, and thank you. Please thank your executive assistant. She was wonderful. Be well. Take care. Bye, everybody. See you soon.